Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Not sure if I'm joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. It's one of Jamie's busiest weeks of the year at her place of employment. If you happen to see her on social media, on Twitter, on Facebook, send her out some well wishes. She's working on some fundraiser golf outing, I think. So she may not be joining us today. But regardless, we'll be carrying on, carrying the torch. We'll be talking about the Green Bay Packers here this morning here at Railbird Central. The title of today's episode, Sizing Up the Secondary. So now that we've gone through almost all positions on the Packers roster post-draft, seeing how these rookies fit in, we did the entire offensive side of the football last week. On Monday morning, we did the front seven of the defense. Today, we're going to get to the secondary. And I suppose it's appropriate because on this Wednesday, what do we have? May 8th, a member of the secondary has their court date today. One of the newest members of the Green Bay Packers, cornerback Micah Hyde of Iowa, in court today, according to Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, for a public intoxication charge from his college days at the University of Iowa. Nothing big, actually. I wouldn't expect this to have any impact on his standing with the Packers. They were aware of this. I don't know if they knew when the exact court date was, but the Packers were aware of his arrest, before drafting him. It was no surprise. I mean, this is something that has been covered locally back when he was a college student at Iowa. And, as the story goes, he was at a bar. He was over 21, but something about, I just did a brief reading of an article from Iowa City. People from the football team not leaving the bar at closing time. Cops were called. I don't know if anything really got out of hand physically. Sounds like there were some words exchanged, maybe. Micah Hyde ends up bolting, running away when the cops come. And that's when he was arrested. And we'll see where it goes from here. Again, being immature, but nothing really outstanding here that is just, something scary or anything like that. We'll see how the court date goes. He actually said in the interview that he thinks he'll be found innocent, I believe, if I remember right, an article published yesterday at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel by Tyler Dunn. We'll see how it goes, but regardless, shouldn't impact his standing with the Packers. So, but we'll try to get to the rest of the secondary here after I make one more brief note. News regarding the Green Bay Packers, another member of the rookie class. One of the larger things to come out of yesterday's news, UCLA running back Jonathan Franklin, Packers' fourth-round draft choice, and a player they traded up to get in the fourth round, is not eligible to participate in the team's OTAs because A, he hasn't graduated, and B, the final exams at UCLA apparently take place later than most other universities in the United States. He is not eligible to participate in OTAs, organized team activities, by NFL rules until his final exams are done. So he is prevented from practicing with the Packers. And there is some sort of vagueness or things that I cannot fully understand. And these were rules passed on from ESPN.com. Their divisional bloggers, Kevin Seifert, who covers the NFC North, which is the Packers division, of course. Then Mike Sando, who I believe had the original report at ESPN.com, who covers the NFC West, I believe. I thought I had read somewhere that the only thing they could participate in is the mandatory mini camp, which for the Packers takes place in June, early June. So Jonathan Franklin can take part in that. So he can do that. I thought he would be ineligible for their rookie mini camp. Maybe there's a kind of a blessing given for that, or I don't know how it goes, but at the Green Bay Press Gazette, they report he can take part in the rookie mini camp here this weekend. So we'll see. But it's not the biggest deal in the world. Obviously, you would like Jonathan Franklin to be taking part in these OTAs in mini camp, and you'd like him to be with the team and learning the team's systems and schemes and you know, those types of things. It's not the biggest thing in the world that he's missing a few weeks of work. I mean, he will be at the mini camp, and there's no reason he won't be at training camp starting in late July. So, so he misses a few weeks. Big deal. I think it is kind of a rather dumb rule to begin with that he's not able to take part in their, OTAs. It seems rather frivolous to me that he's made a career choice that, he's going to join the NFL and you know, while he's still technically enrolled in school now, this has now become his job. So, but, like I said, not a big deal, but anyway, it is what it is. Jonathan Franklin barred for a few weeks of activity. So, we'll find out if we see him this weekend here or not at rookie orientation camp. But, getting to the secondary here, the meat and potatoes of today's show, we've gone through all the rest of the positions, and I wanted to break down the cornerbacks and the safeties in Green Bay. And I suppose we'll start with the cornerbacks here, see where Micah Hyde now fits in to the Packers' schemes here. The Packers, this is one of their deepest positions on the team at cornerback, and that's a good thing. That's something that the Packers can, rest easy in that they have a lot of options. There's still question marks, no doubt about it. In fact, Kevin Lamb asked on the live blog here, I see, has Shields signed his tender yet? He has not. To my knowledge, it hasn't been reported, at least. Sam Shields has not signed any tender, so he's still technically under contract. Now, that doesn't mean a whole lot. He can, if he wants to, sign a waiver and still participate in the Packers offseason program. I don't know if he's done that or not, but he can do that. But that also means they could still be working on a long-term contract extension with Sam Shields as well. So that would be good news if that happens to occur. So still kind of waiting here on Sam Shields a little bit. But yeah, anyway, getting to Sam Shields here and the rest of the cornerbacks. I mean, after the season ended this past year, there was an interview with Joe Witt, and I can't remember where did it appear. Maybe it appeared in multiple publications or outlets. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I think, was at least one of them to report on it, that Joe Witt said basically the starting jobs will be opened up to competition next year. Nobody is guaranteed of a job. And, I guess that kind of was a little bit of an indictment to Tremont Williams, who's been a starter at cornerback for the Green Bay Packers for, several seasons now. And, I get mad a little bit because I think people point to basically one poor game Tremont Williams had this past season against the Minnesota Vikings and think he's trash and he's garbage. Now, admittedly, that one game was incredibly poor that Tremont Williams had. About as bad as a performance as you can get from a cornerback in a single game in which he just, you know, couldn't tackle anyone. People broke tackles on him, and he trailing in coverage and getting beat and stuff like that. And it was a horrific game. But beyond that, and maybe, you know, he didn't have the greatest playoff game against the 49ers either. Certainly not as bad as that Vikings game. But, you know, Tremont Williams had a good season. You know, I think people get caught up in the fact that maybe he didn't put up big interception numbers. You know, what Tremont Williams have last season? 2 interceptions. But the fact is that for the most part, he shut down opposing wide receivers last year, with the exception of 1 or 2 games. You know, certainly he didn't allow, every pass to be completed or incomplete, in his direction all season long. But, you know, was basically a shutdown corner last year. And you would like the interception numbers to be better. You would like his tackling to be better, all those things. But by and large, I remember handing out postseason grades last year and giving Tremont Williams a B. And after people put up a fuss about it, I thought, well, maybe a B minus maybe would have been more appropriate. But still, I mean, we're talking about a B player. We're talking about above average. There's not a whole lot outside of that one game that I think it's, you know, worth getting too upset about Tremont Williams over. So, Tremont Williams is there. He's good. He's going to be in the mix. By all means, I think there's other options out there, and if they deserve to start, they should. But nobody's cutting Tremont Williams. Yeah, he has a high salary this year, in excess of $8 million, I think. Well, the Packers are just going to bite the bullet and, pay him his $8 million this year. Maybe it changes next year. Maybe he gets cut a year from now. But nothing's changing in 2013. Tremont Williams is sticking around, and that's good from a depth standpoint. You know, the guys who are going to challenge him for a starting job will be A, Sam Shields here. You know, we talked about Sam Shields' salary situation. Well, Sam Shields, basically, he had a great rookie season in 2010, right? The year the Packers won the Super Bowl. Great job as a rookie. He comes out of nowhere to be like this factor on the team. This is their nickel cornerback, basically. Has a down year in 2011. Kind of made you scratch your head a little bit, like, what happened to Sam Shields? He was so good as a rookie. And then ends up bouncing back last year. You know, people were worried about his tackling, saying he's not physical. Well, he really took it to heart and actually, showed he's nobody's going to be fierce, afraid of Sam Shields being tackled. But at least he made an honest effort in 2012 and was able to make tackles. And as long as he did that, he's got the most speed on the team. He's your best, maybe, coverage cornerback. He doesn't let guys beat him deep because he is so fast. He's really is good. He's young and he's good. I would love if the Packers, locked him up for a few years with a contract. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. We'll find out. But, Sam Shields, good player, deserves to be a starter. The guy they added last year, Casey Hayward, second round draft choice. Did they give up a third to get him? Maybe. He ends up coming in third in the NFL's Defensive Rookie of the Year voting. One of the best defensive rookies in the entire league last year. Ends up having 6 interceptions. Doesn't give up a single touchdown the entire career, the entire year. Just does fantastic. Took him a little while to get going. Packers didn't use him as a starter. Basically used him as Charles Woodson's spot there as the slot cornerback. And ends up doing an absolutely fantastic job. You couldn't ask for anything more from a rookie, from Hayward. And you just hope he keeps it up. there's kind of this issue, and there was a lot of discussion about it on Cheesehead TV yesterday in our article about Micah Hyde and his, you know, relatively slow 40 time. Well, you know, Casey Hayward coming out of college has a relatively slow 40 time, but, you know, does have the best three-cone drill of any cornerback in his draft class, et cetera, et cetera, and really showing he has a lot of quickness while maybe not a ton of straight-line speed. You know, the fact is, Casey Hayward didn't give up a single touchdown last year. You know, as long as he continues to do that, I'm not too worried about his speed. And yeah, you can argue maybe he got lucky on a few of his interceptions, but when you're getting six of them a year, that's great. I mean, you're always going to get a few lucky ones, but, you know, that's, he's doing fine. He's doing fine. So, Casey Hayward, you know, he's going to this year continue to be at minimum, the Packers' nickel cornerback, in which he guards the slot wide receivers, and he's perfect at doing that. It's just a matter of whether he can also play the perimeter and start, be a three-down player. We'll find out whether he can do that. I think he can. I think he can. It's just a matter of, are the Packers going to do that with Tremont Williams? And, you know, I suppose I should talk about Tremont Williams' injury here as well. I kind of glossed that over when we were talking about him. I mean, part of the reason people think that Tremont Williams, you know, maybe isn't as physical as he once was, and he was physical in 2010, I'll tell you that, the Super Bowl season, is because of the injury he suffered during the 2011 season. He has some nerve damage in his shoulder, and he's, you know, doesn't want to hit people because it hurts. And he is actually honored this off season here with, what do they call it, the Ed Block Courage Award, is it? In which he was voted upon by his teammates, I believe, to win Green Bay's, the award from the team in Green Bay. So, people realize Tremont Williams is playing with quite a bit of pain. And you know, that may be holding him back. And there's hope that maybe he gets over it. Maybe some of that will finally go away here. Give it another offseason. That kind of pain in his shoulder, that nerve damage will go away, and he'll be fine. He can hit again, and he'll be back to his old self. At some point, age is going to start catching up to Tremont Williams too, though. He's no spring chicken anymore. So there's that to factor in. But, as long as Tremont Williams, you know, he's got, what, 2 years left on his contract? If he could just be in the prime of his career for the next 2 years, I think the Packers would be happy with that and maybe let the chips fall where they may after that. So on top of Williams, Hayward, Shields, we got Devon House, who got, he's entering his third year in the NFL. Basically, you know, a wash rookie season. Didn't do a whole lot in 2011 as a rookie. Kind of the Packers' fourth cornerback last year. Ends up getting some playing time when Sam Shields was hurt, stuff like that. Devon House, you know, a lot of potential there. Played well last year in stretches. You know, there was a lot of attention on Devon House in the preseason. He got a lot of playing time, a lot of opportunities in the preseason. Actually looked really well. And then he got hurt, and that kind of put him behind the eight ball a little bit. And then Sam Shields got more of an opportunity. So Devon House was kind of further down the depth chart then. But, you know, still ended up getting some playing time. Looks good. Devon House is one of those guys, you know, where you hope he's the real deal. And if he is, I mean, as your fourth cornerback, wow, you couldn't ask for anything more from a fourth cornerback. And, I mean, potentially a starter. They'll give him a chance to start. Whether he can beat out Sam Shields and Casey Hayward is another question, but, you know, again, it's a good situation the Packers find themselves in with so many options, at least. Micah Hyde only adds to that, a guy who many think, you know, because of his, you know, relatively slow 40 time, maybe he ends up being a safety in the NFL. but the Packers are going to give him every opportunity to be a cornerback first. It showed with Casey Hayward, speed isn't everything. As long as you got instincts, as long as you have quickness, you know, we'll find out with Micah Hyde. You know, we'll find out. If it doesn't work out, well, then they can move him to safety. And I kind of said from the get-go, maybe he's the kind of guy who pushes Jarrett Bush. Jarrett Bush is kind of your fifth safety. The Packers actually used him in their goal line situations last year, as you'll remember. And a key special teams player. I don't think anybody's going to deny that Jarrett Bush is probably the best special teams kamikaze kind of guy on the team. The guy who's downing punts as a gunner, things like that, does a fantastic job. But he's making over $2 million a season, I believe, Jarrett Bush is. And that's kind of a lot for a special teams guy and a guy who rarely plays on defense. Maybe Micah Hyde is the kind of guy who takes his spot on the team. Again, we won't, you know, say that yet. But certainly, he's adding to the competition there, and you know, both maybe Bush has the ability to play safety in a pinch, so he's kind of corner and safety, adds depth at both positions. Maybe Micah Hyde can do that as well. We'll find out. We will find out. And other than that, I mean, the Packers do have a couple other, you know, options further down the depth chart, practice squad type of guys, but you know, those will be the guys who are fighting for time at the cornerback position. At safety, I just kind of wrote a blog post over the weekend about the Packers potentially adding a veteran at the safety position. Now they've got Morgan Burnett. Everything's hunky-dory with Morgan Burnett, right? He's entering his fourth year in the NFL. You kind of hope he takes the next step and becomes a Pro Bowl type of player. But, you know, he's a solid starter, right? The Packers have that in Morgan Burnett. And he'll be fine, and they'll be okay with him. But beyond him is the question mark. They released Charles Woodson in the offseason because he had a salary in excess of $8 million, and it's clear that Charles Woodson had lost a step. And you kind of think, well, they released Charles Woodson. They must be feel pretty good about Jerron McMillan, their fourth-round draft choice from a year ago. And I can't blame the Packers about, you know, feeling good about him. I hope it works out. I still have questions about Jerron McMillan, seeing as he didn't do a whole lot last year. He played well in limited action, but very limited action. You know, he didn't play a whole ton last year. I think definitely Jerron McMillan is the better option than MD Jennings, who is not even 200 pounds. MD Jennings kind of has some coverage skills. As you saw, he had the long, what was it last year? Jerron McMillan had the 70 some yard interception return last year, which is great. That's good. He should have had the interception against the Seattle Seahawks. We won't get into that. But, you know, Jerron McMillan had his moments and probably deserves to be a backup on the Packers. I just think the Packers are looking for a Jerron McMillan to be the starter, a guy who's a hitter. Jerron McMillan is very aggressive, can be an in-the-box kind of guy, but does need to improve his coverage, needs to become an all-around type of player, a three-down type of player, and there's hope that he can. There's hope that he can. John says on the live blog, McMillan flash potential. Could he be the second year player to take the biggest jump? That would certainly be nice if we could. Evan asks on the live blog, we all know Bush can't play cornerback, but wouldn't his skills work well as at safety? Well, Bush is kind of a backup emergency safety. I think the Packers have just, you know, given into Bush now. He is what he is, you know. He's a special teams guy, and they'll use him maybe on those goal line packages, but I don't think they want to play Jarrett Bush anywhere other than that, unless it's an emergency, unless there's injuries, things like that. So But you know, getting back to the safety position here with the Packers adding potentially a veteran. You know, they released Charles Woodson. Maybe it's a case where the Packers bring him back. You think that all you want, because Charles Woodson's still out there on the free agent market, hasn't signed with anyone, kind of flirted with the San Francisco 49ers for a while, but nothing happening there. The Packers don't draft a safety during the draft, so you think, well, maybe they can bring him back. Well, do you want to bring Charles Woodson back as a backup? Will Charles Woodson accept a backup role for a minimum contract? Because, I mean, it appears the Packers are committed to Jerron McMillon here as the starter. At least they're going to give him every opportunity to fail. You know, not to say that they want him to fail, but they're gonna go with him as the starter until proven otherwise, I think. Maybe they give MD Jennings the first opportunity because he's more of a veteran. It'll be his third year. But anyway, I think Jerron McMillan's the guy they're looking at there. John says on the live blog, my sleeper is Sean Richardson. He'll be part of the group. He'll be a factor. He's a guy who shows a lot of strength, a lot of speed. He's got the prototype body. He had the injury last year, something in his spine, a cervical disc herniation, I believe. Something you got to be really, touchy about because of the seriousness that can be involved in that type of injury. But they put him in injured reserve last year. His season ended. He'll be part of the group, and he has a chance to stick around. I don't think you're looking at Sean Richardson as a starter, but if he can just stick around on the roster this year, be a special teams guy, you never know where he could end up down the road. Like I said, a lot of strength, a lot of speed, prototype safety size there, measurables, which are good for Sean Richardson. They add an undrafted rookie, Ben Erickson, out of Illinois State. He's a Wisconsin native. He had 7 interceptions, I believe, his senior season, or was it over the course of his career? But anyway, he'll be fighting for playing time. But again, it still goes back to, are the Packers going to add a veteran? If it's not Charles Woodson, who is it? You know, I know two names thrown out there by Bob McGinn are Kerry Rhodes and Gerald Sensabaugh. And Kerry Rhodes was like a second-team All-Pro back in 2006. So a guy who I think has a lot of potential. There's been a lot of chat out there about Kerry Rhodes. If you go ahead and Google his name, with all the attention on gay players in professional sports, there's been a lot of questions surrounding Kerry Rhodes, if he's one of those guys, because of some pictures that have surfaced on the internet. I shouldn't even pry into this, except for that Kerry Rhodes felt the obligation to like talk about it with the media. I believe he talked to TMZ. I don't know why he would talk to them about it, but probably because they're pushing more than any other outlet. But actually says, no, I'm straight. I'm not gay. It's a weird situation. If you Google Kerry Rhodes, there's a whole lot out there on him, and it should have no bearing on what he does on the field, which has been, you know, he's getting a little bit up there in age now, but still, he had like 4 interceptions last year with the Cardinals, I believe. So he's an option. There's a pair of former Packers safeties out there. Charlie Peppro, who was a starter during the Super Bowl season. Atari Bigbee, who's been with the Packers since, dating back to 2007. Those guys are out there in the free agent market. But anyway, so those are all options to the Packers. And it's 9 o'clock, folks. I got to bug out here right on time today. I got to take my wife to the airport. So we'll see you later, everyone, all right? My name is Brian Caribou, and I leave you today with a song called All Inside by Kyle Hollingsworth on Cy Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.